We have been having this series on God is able. And this is something that you and I need to really recognize and believe and trust that He is able. God is able. It is biblical. He is able. The word able in Greek is dynamos. Dynamos means He is mighty enough. He is powerful enough to be able to do. Let us not underestimate the ability of God. As we continue the series, just want to recap the previous sermons that we have meditated upon. You can read it aloud with me just to recollect the sermons that we have heard. Shall we all read this together, please? God is able to save to the uttermost, Hebrews 7:25. God is able to deliver from the fire, Daniel 2:17. God is able to deliver from the lions, Daniel 6:20. God is able to humble the proud, Daniel 4:37. God is able to perform His promise, Romans 4:21. And God is able to raise even from the dead, Hebrews 11:19. If you haven't heard these sermons, you can go to our church website at zion-church.org to listen to them or to even listen to them over and over again as well. But today we are going to study on another aspect about the ability of God, which is God is able to do. God is able to do. Shall we read this together, please? And then you can write it down in the sermon notes, the blanks that need to be filled. Shall we all read this together? Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I'll give you some time to just fill in the blanks. Who is able? You can fill down that word, able to do exceedingly abundantly about all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I hope you have noted them down, the words. Yes, I've taken it from the New King James Version. All right, let's read this in another language. Let's read this in Telugu language. All together. Ephesians రాసిన పత్రిక 3వ అధ్యాయము 21వ వచనాలు కలిసి చదువుకుందాము. మనలో కార్యసాధకమైన తన శక్తి చొప్పున మనము అడుగు వాటన్నిటికంటేను ఊహించిన వాటన్నిటికంటేను అత్యధికముగా చేయ శక్తి గల దేవునికి క్రీస్తు యేసు మూలముగా సంఘములో తరతరములకు సదాకాలము మహిమ కలుగునుగాక. ఆమెన్. అడుగు వాటన్నిటిని కంటే ఊహించిన వాటికంటే అత్యధికముగా చేయ శక్తి గల దేవుడు. టేక్ దిస్ యాజ్ ఎ ప్రామిస్ ఫ్రమ్ ద లార్డ్. Next, in Urdu, shall we read? Those of us who can follow in Urdu language. Ab jo aisa qadir hai ki us kudrat ke muwafiq jo hum mein taasir karta hai, hamari darkwash aur khayal se bahut zyada kaam kar sakta hai. Kalisiya mein aur Masih Yeshu mein pusht dar pusht aur Abdul Abad ki se us tamzi hoti rahe. Amen. I know it is a little difficult, but I'm sure our James uncle and auntie and brother Solomon and sister Ati and others were able to read this. So the point that we need to understand here is God is able to do. God is able to do. Those of us who have little children, you know that your children know that their dad, or for that sake, mom as well, they know that my dad can do it. I can't open the lid of this bottle. I go to my dad. Dad, I know you are able to open it. Can you please open it for me? I'm sure even moms tell, hey, dad can do it. You go ask dad. Why? Because there is a kind of a faith or trust in the person who has the power to do it. Dad is strong. Dad is able to do that. Even for that matter, even studies-wise. Mathematics, go to dad. Why? Because dad is able to answer these questions you have, especially as the kids keep growing up, geometry, calculus and all. When was the last time we've learned? So sometimes You know, it's a refreshing thing, but children know where to go and whom to go to when they are in need. We, as human beings, need to recognize that we have a God who is our creator. And he wants to be our heavenly father. The Bible says in John chapter 1 and verse 12, for them, those who believe in him and received him, to them he gave he power to be called the children of God. To be able to recognize that we have a God who loves me so much. He came down into this world to die for me on the cross of Calvary. He is ready to forgive me of my sins. And with that understanding, as I believe in him and receive him as my personal savior, the Bible says that we are called the children of God and we can go to our heavenly father at any time. But you need to take that step forward in being able to believe and receive in him, because he has done everything for you. He has come into this world and died for you. You don't need to do anything for that matter other than believing him and receiving him into your heart. Today, as a child of God, there are certain things that you and I need to be able to understand. Let us open our Bibles, if you have, to Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, wonderful book. If you want to meditate on it, this is yet another letter that we can really meditate upon. This was written to the church in Ephesus by Apostle Paul. And the first three chapters, he talks about the dispensation of the grace of God. The grace of God, grace. Grace, in other words, krupa, devani krupa. Grace of God being bestowed upon us and trying to understand our salvation experience and the grace of God that is bestowed upon us, the first three chapters. And wonderfully, he ends the three chapters with a great benediction. That is what we are meditating upon today. The first three chapters ends with that benediction, verses 20 and 21. And then the next three chapters, 4, 5, and 6, talks about the distribution of grace. Or in other words, how this grace has to be used in the body of Christ, in the gifts that are given to in the various relationships that are there, the distribution of the grace that has been dispensed to us in order to be able to have our Christian walk, in our various relationships that are given to us, family relationships, and all such kind of relationships in chapter 4, 5, and 6. So this Ephesians talks about the aspect about the grace of God. And here in verses 20 and 21 in Ephesians chapter 3, he concludes that aspect. And this, in the context of this particular conclusion, if you really look at it, it is part of something called, the first point that you want to note it down is prayer. Prayer. As part of the prayer, he gave this benediction. That is why typically when the church service ends, when we finish the Sunday worship service, we have the final prayer and benediction. Why? See, if you see here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 onwards, there's a prayer that he's praying about. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. This is repeatedly coming in terms of being able to have the humility in the sight of God. Paul wrote this particular letter, and when he wrote this letter, he is saying, I bow my knee before the Father, not before people, not for the sake of people to appreciate you, but it is bowing our knees before the Father, 14th verse, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and that he would grant you, God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. The riches of his glory, that he would grant you the riches of his glory. We have a rich God. He will supply all our needs in accordance to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And here he's saying that he would grant you, please read in any other language, verse 16, Ephesians 3, 16. Kalsunte, we can read it together too. మహిమైశ్వర్యము చొప్పున మీకు దయచేయవలననియు, yes. Yes, brother. Thank you. Prarthinchuchunnanu. It is his prayer. He is not praying for himself, but he is praying for others. In that, he is saying that God may grant you according to the riches of his glory. We have a God who is ready. He is able to give you and grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. The whole purpose of God giving you something is that you may be strengthened in the inner man, not the outer man. Not the outer man, but inside. Many times we have fears inside, my dear. We may be externally smiling at people's faces. We may be saying that everything is hunky-dory, everything is fine. But inside, you may be going through struggles. But the Bible says that he wants to strengthen with power through his spirit in the inner man. Antaranga Purushudu. Meaning inside, God wants you to be strengthened. And each one of us today, my prayer and our prayer is that each one of us is strengthened in the inside, inner man. Strengthened with power through the Spirit of God. Why? Verse 17. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Christ may dwell in your hearts. Is Christ in your heart? Is Christ in your heart? Yesu Christu mee hrudayamlo unnada? If not, you need to receive Christ in your heart. You need to receive Christ in your heart just by belief and faith in him. That he has done everything for you. Christu Yesu lokaniki vacharu na gurinchi silvalo maranincharu anna vishwasamato Yesu Christuni swanta rakshakuniga angikarinchi. In your heart of hearts, believe in him that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's only through faith that Christ may dwell in your hearts. Because it is by the, he himself tells in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it is by grace through faith that you are saved, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love, our desire and prayer that you and I may be rooted and grounded in love. If you are involved in planting, I don't know how many of you do planting. You need to put the seed under the ground so that it may produce the necessary plant and tree and produce the fruit at the right time. That you may be rooted and grounded in love. What is this love? Prema ante enti. What is this rooted and grounded in love? Verse 18, you may be able to comprehend with all the saints, with everyone together, what is the breadth, length, height and depth. It is a four-dimensional love. It's not a 3D love. It's not a 2D love. It is a four-dimensional love. What is it? The breadth of the love. That is how Jesus Christ stretched out his hand on the cross of Calvary and died for us on the cross of Calvary for your sake and my sake, for your sin and my sin. He has shown forth the breadth of his love. How much do you love me? And this is how much I love. That is a kind of a depiction when Jesus stretched out his hands towards us. The length and the height and depth, there is nothing that can compare. God's love is wonderful. So high you can't get over it. So deep you can't get under it. So wide you can't get around it. The songwriter says, the Sunday school song. That is the love. Verse 19, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paripurna lavadaktu ayedattuga prarthana chestunnadu. We should be having the fullness of God in us. Fullness of God, not partial. Don't just be partial believers. Don't just be saying, okay, once in a while I will have this meetings time and fellowship time. That is when I'll remember God. No, every moment of time, as you keep breathing the air in and out, you need to have that relationship with God. That you may have the fullness of God. That is his prayer. So as part of this prayer, he's concluding that prayer with a benediction in verse 20 and 21. And what did he conclude in the benediction? What did he say? Starting with the first word. He said, now, not later, not tomorrow, not next week. When is it? Now. Now to him who is able to do. Now to him who is able to do. The God is here to be able to do. He is able to do, my dear. Never doubt his ability. Last time when we have meditated on the ability of God, that God is able to raise even from the dead, we have meditated on two aspects of this, of Abraham's life. One was availability of Abraham, and the next one was the ability of God. God is expecting our availability, not ability. Because the ability comes from Him. And all He wants us to have is His availability. Are you able to have that avail? Lord, I am available for you. Lord, I am at your disposal. Use me. Lord, mold me. I am like a clay at the potter's hand. Mold me and make me like a pot that you want me to be created as. Kummari daggara etlaga matti. A kunda chesthadappudu etlaga. It is left to what the potter's responsibility, his choice to be able to mold in the shape that the pot should become. God wants you and I to be able to be available for him so that he will do wondrous things through our lives. Now, remember that. Now, to him who is able to do. As we meditate on this particular verse, by the end of this sermon, I hope and pray that we memorize this verse. That is our desire. The word of God should be hidden in our hearts so much that as we meditate on his word, we can memorize his word as well. Now to him who is able to do. First thing that you want to note down is exceedingly. He's able to do exceedingly. We have a God who is able to do exceedingly. As part of his prayer and benediction, he's bringing forth this point of the fact that we have a God who is able to do exceedingly, or in other words, far more, or in some translations, beyond. Exceedingly, we have a God who is doing exceedingly. He's not a God who is just doing mediocre. Mediocrity is not in our God. We have a God who is able to do exceedingly. This is not my words, my dear. I'm sharing it from the scriptures. And from the beginning, we have seen that we have a God who is a God who wants to grant us exceedingly. Let's read that from Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. When he spoke to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17, Abraham to devudu maatladinappudu 17th adhyayam aadikaandam 17 verse 2. One of us, could you please read? I will multiply you exceedingly. It is not little, but I am going to multiply you exceedingly. Verse 6. Exceedingly fruitful. Yes. So we have a God who is a God who is a God of exceeding. God who exceeds. Exceed. What does exceed mean? If we want to really think of the word exceed. Exceed means there is something. And for example, 70% is first class. I don't know. Is it first class? 70% or something? And then 60? 60%. Okay. And then exceeding. Oh, this person exceeded the 60th mark. Exceeded means he went beyond. He went beyond that particular level. So we have a God who just doesn't try to meet what we ask for, but he's able to do exceedingly. That's why even in Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians itself, let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19. Verse 19. Exceeding greatness of his power. His power itself is exceeding. So if his power is exceeding, that means he's able to do exceeding as well. And chapter 2, verse 7. My dear, we have a God who wants to show forth the exceeding greatness of his power to those who believe. And also, in verse 7, the exceeding riches of his grace, exceeding riches of his glory. He wants to offer us those exceeding aspects. He is not just mediocre. Let us not underestimate the God whom we serve. As we have meditated on the various other stories in the scriptures about the ability of God, he has done more than what was asked for. He has done beyond our comprehension. How God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How God delivered Daniel from the den of lions. How God gave a child to Abraham when he was in his old age. How God helped Isaac to be preserved without dying. And God was able to do that exceedingly, more than what Abraham might have imagined. So what we see here is we have a God who show forth his exceedingly. Even his promises are exceeding promises. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. I want us to be encouraged by the scriptures so that we may know the kind of God we serve. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Exceedingly great and precious promises, magnificent promises, sometimes in some translations say, exceedingly great and precious promises he's given us. The promises that he is giving you and I, they are exceeding promises, my dear. They are superlative if we want to really look at it. It is a superlative, exceeding. And such is a God that we serve. And not only is that mentioned in this particular verse, that when we pray that we have a God who is able to do exceedingly, but also we have a God who is able to do abundantly. Abundantly he can do it. Not a little. The other day when we had the house dedication in Brother Vamsi's house, he wanted to have the name of his house as a God of abundance. Why? Because they are able to experience the abundance of God. And that is what we see, the abundance of God here in Psalm chapter 36 and verse 8. Psalm chapter 36 and verse 8. Please read. They are abundantly satisfied with the fatness of this house, of his house. The house of God should be a place where you are abundantly satisfied. He is a God who is able to do exceedingly. We have a God who is able to do abundantly. Abundance is what God wants to be able to, you and I, to experience. You know, before we experience any other blessings, the greatest blessing, the abundant blessing that we have received is the gift of salvation. Rakshana anedi manaki samruddhiga anugrahincharu. Elanti Rakshanante, let us see that in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 7. The kind of salvation that he has bestowed upon us, Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 7. Please read. He is a God who abundantly pardons. You might be thinking, oh, I have committed such a kind of a sin. Is God able to pardon my sin? Is God able to forgive my sin? Let me tell you, we have a God who is able to abundantly pardon us. He is exceedingly able to do that, to the extent of completely forgiving and forgetting what we have done, so that we may live for him the remainder of our lives. If there is a sin in your life that is bothering you over this past years or past time that it's been there, remember one thing, my dear. We have a God who abundantly pardons. Abundantly. Not a little. But you need to come to him as well, to be able to believe that, God, you are the one who died for me on the cross of Calvary. I believe in you. I believe in you. If we confess our sins, he is ready to forgive us from all unrighteousness, abundantly to pardon us. He is a God of abundance. His blessing of pardoning is abundant, remember. He is a God of grace. He is giving grace after grace after grace, waiting for you to come to him. He is waiting for you to return to him. That's what it says in verse 7. Let him return to the Lord. Return to the Lord, my dear. Maybe you are going away from the Lord. Maybe you are hearing his word, but not obeying his word. God wants to remind you and I. Is there a sin in your life that you're not able to come out of? He is abundantly ready to pardon you. He is abundantly ready to pardon you. And he is abundantly going to give you a life. John chapter 10 and verse 10. What does it say? John chapter 10 and verse 10. I came that I may have life and life abundantly. Telugu lo evaraina chadavani 10th vachanam. Jeevamu kalugutakunu samruddhi jeevitam. He wants to give you and I abundant life. Abundant life, not a life which is a mediocre life. And you know what that life is? The life is beyond this world, out of this world, and that is eternal life. There is nothing that can compare to it, the abundant life that he has given us. And he wants us to have such a kind of life that you and I may be able to experience in our lives. Jeremiah chapter 33. And also, he's a God who wants to take care of our needs as well. Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 6. I will bring to it health and healing. I will heal them. Abundance of peace and truth. That is what God wants to give us. Healing is one thing. But more than anything, that he wants you and I to experience abundance of peace and truth. Maybe that is missing in our lives today. He is able to give you abundant peace. God is able to do that. He is able to do more than what we can ask for in terms of being able to say that we have a God who is exceedingly, abundantly able to do in our lives and your lives. What does it say? Exceeding abundantly. What is the third thing that it talks about here? Above all. Above all that we ask or think. That's what it says actually. If you really look at that, it is above all that we ask or think. Above all. It's not just a little bit. Oh, based on what you ask, I will give you. God is able to give you more than what you ask or think. Or in other words, imagine. Did God give you just because you asked for it? There are many things, even without asking, God gave it, you and I. We have such a kind of God. And when we ask or even imagine, oh, do you think God can do this in my life? Can I get this? Is it possible? Many questions you are imagining. You haven't yet prayed about it. But just thinking, my dear, more than what you can think about, God is able to do that. We have such a kind of a God. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. What does it say? My thoughts are not your thoughts. What you're thinking is not my thinking. My thinking is not the same. Yes, brother. Your ways are not my ways. That is why we believe in such a God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. Telugulo chadavandi evaruna? Mee talampulu kante naa talampulu anta ettugona. He is thinking more than what you are thinking. What are we thinking? Lord, itla aithe baaguntadi, what if it happens like this? Our thinking is limited to our mind. Human mind is limited. But we have a God who thinks more than what you think. Who knows the end from the beginning of your life. We think that God, maybe you should do like this. We try to sometimes give prescription to our God. God, why don't you do this, like this, this, like this? Yes. And we pray like that also. Can you do like this, Lord? As if we know everything. But God is saying, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. I know the big picture. You know the little picture in your life. I know what is going to happen next year in your life. I am taking you there. And the way in which I am taking you there is a different way than what you think, my dear. God has a plan for you and I. He has an eternal plan for you and I. And his plan is being accomplished daily in our lives. We need to believe that. We need to be able to recognize that God is the one who is able to think more than what we think. And he's able to give us more than what we ask. There is a story in the Bible that I just want us to refer to from the book of 1 Kings. Book of 1 Kings. chapter 3. Verse 5. Please read 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. Ask, what shall I give you? Imagine you are asked this question tonight or right now. Ask what you wish me to give you. Chadavandi evarana telugulo. See, it's like a blank check. What do you want? Take it. What are you going to ask? You may be asking for your current situation, right? Because we have, our understanding only is on the present situation that we are in. In the present situation, I want something. Because we are in need of that, so we talk about the current situation. But God has a plan way ahead. What did Solomon do? You know the story. But for those of us who do not know the story, I just want to be able to say here that he was asking for wisdom. Verse 9. It says, yeah, go ahead. Give me an understanding heart to discern between good and evil. What a wonderful request that he said. Many times we don't know what is good and evil. Even though Adam and Eve ate that from the fruit of the, you know, the tree of the good and evil, still we are struggling between knowing good and evil. And here he said, give me that one. And to that in verse 10, it was pleasing in the sight of the Lord that Solomon has asked this thing. Solomon did not ask for anything in verse 11. Notice this very carefully in verse 11. Please read. I have given you also what you have not asked. God is a God who knows our needs. He has given him more than what he has asked. And what does he say there in verse 13? So, God is a God, though he is asking Solomon what he wants, he knows what he should give. Just like a father, we may be asking our children, what do you want? They might say, give me a pencil or something. No, I'm going to give you not just a pencil, I'm going to give you a little bike as well. Oh, daddy, thank you. See, the kind of joy that the child gets when, though the child has asked for something, but the dad knew that the child needs more than what the child asked for. We have a God. Above all that we ask or think, we have a God who is able to give us. And such is the kind of a God we have. Do not ever think that he is not able to do that. He knows what to give, when to give, and how to give. We are not the ones who need to be able to question God as to why he is not giving at this time, etc. Because he knows the best, he is able to do that. Secondly, quickly, if you want to get into the second part that we want to talk about is power. Power. Let's go back to the verse. I think that is listed on the top of your sermon notes. Talking about the fact that according to the power that works within us. According to the power that works within us, my dear brothers and sisters. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that works within us. What is this power that works within us? What is the kind of a power that he is talking that works within us? You and I should be able to understand that power. Let when we see Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, we just read it earlier. Remember what we have read, Ephesians 1:19. It says, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance to the working of the strength of his might. We have a God who is powerful God. Remember that. Even chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me, according to the working of his power. God should work within us. When he's able to do everything, he wants to first have his power within us. We need to have the power of the inner man that you should be able to recognize in our lives. And that is what we see here, that he wants to give you and I. Verse 16 as well, chapter 3 and verse 16. We read that before, where it says to be strengthened with power through his spirit in the inner man. I think you read it already, right, brother? In verse 16, it says, Antaranga Purushan. Shakti kalagi atma mumalamga balaparachabadu. You should be strengthened in the inner man, my dear. According to the power that works within us. The power of God is working within us. You know how? The word power again is same as ability. The dynamos. The Greek word is the same in both. Imagine a dynamite is given to us. A lot of people use the dynamite for wrong purposes. But we know that the dynamite means power. God wants to give such a kind of power in you and I. The strength that he wants you and I to have. He wants you and I to be strengthened inside, my dear. Maybe we are going through a lot of weakness in our lives that he wants to strengthen with power through his spirit. The first thing that you and I should understand here is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to empower us through the Holy Spirit of God that he is given us. The Holy Spirit of God needs to be able to work within us. Don't have the Holy Spirit of God just as a resident in your life, my dear. Many times we might say, I'm saved. I have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. He is resident in my life. No, that is not sufficient. He should be a president in your life, not just a resident in your life. Why? So that he may have the power of your life. So that he may control your life. Because we cannot control our lives. God, you take control of my life. Because you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Do you have the power of God working in us? Are you experiencing the power of God in you? If not, the time has come to kindle that power of God in you. Kindle that power of God in you. God is able to help you in every aspect to be strengthened in the inner man. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. By the power of the Holy Spirit. It is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that you may be able to experience the joy and peace and hope. These are the three words that are used in Christmas. Peace, joy, hope. Yeah, wonderful. The other day, yesterday I think, I went to AT&T store. And there they put peace, joy, hope, believe. Wonderful. Whether they have that peace, joy, hope or anything, they want to express the season of Christmas. But God wants to give us that peace, joy, hope, everything through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Let us experience the power of the Holy Spirit of God in us. That we may be strengthened through his promises, through his words, through his word that he has given us, that power. There is another aspect about the power. Not only the power of the Holy Spirit of God, but there is power of the word of the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Please read. Unto us which are saved, it is the power of God, the power of God, the preaching of the cross, the word of the cross, it says in some of the translations. That word of the cross is power of God for us. Word of the cross. What is the preaching of the cross? What happened on the cross? Jesus Christ died for us on the cross. The preaching of the cross, it is the power of God for us. The cross has changed our lives forever. Jesus dying for us on the cross of Calvary, shedding his precious blood for us. Not only did he die, but also he rose again from the dead through the power of resurrection, it says in Philippians chapter 3. The power of resurrection, the power of the cross, the power of Good Friday, the power of Easter has caused everything in our lives. The power of the word of cross. Power of the word of cross. Siluva gurchina suvartha, or the word vakyam. That is what is powerful. And third and finally, the thing that you and I need to be able to understand is the power of the gospel. Romans 1:16, power of the gospel. What is gospel? What is gospel? Gospel means good news. The good news that we as human beings are born in sin and we are bound to eternal hell. And there is none other than God himself who can save us from this eternal hell. So Jesus Christ came into this world, God becoming man, to die for us on the cross of Calvary. It's a free gift. That's the gospel. So what is this gospel? Let us see that in verse 16. Please read. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Let us never be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? The gospel has a power. It is a power of God for salvation to everyone. Chadavandi 16th vachanam. Suvarthana gurinchi nenu siggu padavadanu kaanu. Rakshana kalugutaku adi devuni shakti ayi unnadi. Power of God, the power that works within us, the gospel of Jesus Christ has a power of God that is working within us to everyone who believes. That is the salvation that you and I need to have. My prayer and desire is everyone who's sitting here and listening to this word may be able to have the power of God unto salvation. That you may experience salvation of God. Rakshana anubhavam mee andariki undadattuga. That is our prayer. That as the power of God works within us to save us from our sins, to save us from the eternal destruction that you are going through, God wants to save us. And finally, that you and I should be able to learn here is praise. Prayer, power, and praise. The three things that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21. What is the third thing about praise that is mentioned in the last verse, verse 21? What does it say? To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So the three things that you can note down quickly, I'll just point it to you. The glory in the church. Glory in the church. When we pray, when we make this benediction, our prayer is that when God is able to exceedingly, abundantly, above all, do what we ask or think according to the power that works within us, what should we do about it? If God can do us, God can be able to give us, we say, thank you, God, forget you. Next time when I have need, again I go to God. No! The moment I experience the fact that God is able to do, even before he gives me, I need to glorify God. Don't wait for the answer yet. Start praising God from the moment you realize that God is able. Maybe you have a lot of needs. You have come with a lot of needs today. Spiritual needs, physical needs, or whatever is the kind of needs that you have come with. Remember one thing. God is able. He has prayed. When he has prayed, he's ended with this benediction saying, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church. We need to glorify God in the church. That is why we give opportunity to worship him in the church. To give glory to him in the church. What is church? Church is a body of believers. The body of believers of Christ coming together makes a church. It's not just a building, but it is the people who come together. Though the church is explained as a building in the previous chapter, It says in verse previous chapter, Ephesians 2, 20, 21, 22, it says, you are built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. Church is also mentioned as a building. But again, it is the fact that we are built up together. We need to glorify God in the church. That's why we give opportunity to come and share your testimony. Why? So that it may bring glory to God in the church. God is only one who is to be glorified. That it may bring glory in the church. The second one is by Christ Jesus. God may be glorified by Christ Jesus, through Christ Jesus. Christ Moolamana, it says, right? In Telugu it says, Christ, Yesu Christu Moolamaga Sangamalo Tarataramulaku Sadakalamu Mahima Kalugunaga. Because of Christ, I'm glorifying God. Because of Christ, I'm glorifying God. By Christ Jesus. Because of what Christ has done for me. Because of his sacrifice. When we take part in this communion that is set before us, we are glorifying God. We are saying glory to God. God, I thank you for Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. Is it only in our generation that we need to do? Third and final thing that we see is to all generations. To all generations forever and ever, he should be glorified. Why? Because God is able. If somebody says, how can you worship God when you're going through difficulties in your life? Say, God is able and I'm glorifying God because he's able. That's it. It's not because he has done something for me that I'm glorifying God. No, he has already done wonderful things for me. And he's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that I ask or think. Adigi uhinchindani kante achyadikamaga che shaktigala devudu. He's able to do that, my dear. Do you believe that? If you have been doubting the ability of God, maybe the time has come for us to stop doubting and fully trust in him by the power that works within us. We are empowered. We are like, you know, not dead cell phone without battery. Without battery being charged. We are powered up. We need to be powered up altogether, my dear. That is why Sunday after Sunday, we come here to get powered up. To get powered up so much so that we can lead the remainder of our week, or in sometimes even daily, we need to be able to be connected to each other as a family, as a church, as a daily prayer call. Many things that we have so that we have weekly boosters as well, apart from the proper power that we are given on Sundays. There is a church in Germany where they have engraved these statements. I thought it was interesting to be able to note, and I thought I'll share with you. It is as if Jesus is making this statement. I'll read it aloud. Jesus saying, you call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me the way and walk me not. You call me life and live me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. If I condemn thee, blame me not. Yeah. After all this, even if you are saying, oh God, you are not doing, why? You are not living the way I want you to be. You are not obeying. You are not following. You are not seeking. If I condemn thee, blame me not. Let us not fall into that category of being condemned because we are not following the way in which he wants us to be. So as a reminder, remember this, the prayer, power and praise, God is able to do it. May the Lord bless this word. And I hope we are well empowered today in the inner man, inside. God wants us to be strong. Be strong, my dear. Don't be weak. There are many things that may be going in your life, but God wants to empower you. You have come to this place so that you may be empowered by his word, by his Holy Spirit, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live for him. Believe that he's able to do it. When he's do it, how he's going to do it, in what way he's going to do it, leave it to him, my dear. you believe in him and trust in him and live for him all the days of our lives. May the Lord bless this word.